Welcome to That 80s Show, and when you see Linda Hamilton, you know you're in shit. You know you are in shit, Dory.
I'm trying to think of what the context could be for when you see Linda Hamilton. Have you been overplaying with your AI?
See, I want to get through episodes. I want to get through one conversation in life at the moment without talking about AI.
Impossible.
We're children of the 80s. We've fucking seen this in every movie we've ever watched. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Oh, tell me, should I wash the dishes? Oh, give me 5 ideas for my kid's birthday party. Right? Oh, fine. Cool.
Yeah.
Right, we watched all the fucking movies, people. Do we have to be the voices of reason?
Oh my God, if we are the voices of reason, bring on the apocalypse.
Let yourself
go. It's too
late.
It's too late.
I suppose the plus side of we're going to see Linda Hamilton. Now, why do I say this? You know, I love when Stranger Things pops up. I love the fact that Stranger Things has taken so long to resolve, because they've kept 80s culture, 80s nostalgia in the zeitgeist, in the algorithms, you know, so we can manipulate it. And in the past week, Stranger Things season 5, the final promo dropped. Yes. Do you see how they're releasing Stranger Things?
I haven't watched a promo. All I saw was a thing saying releasing 26 November, which I got excited about because it's just before my birthday.
Yes.
And it's going to be after exam, so my kid and I can watch it together.
Yes, the trick as well.
Yes.
So they've done it fucked up because, you know, they never expected Stranger Things to be a hit. It was supposed to be like one season, one and done. Remember when Netflix used to do that?
Yes.
That was a great, that was the glory days of Netflix.
I don't know. They cancelled a lot of good shit.
Oh, but then they also like really fucking squeezed the blood out of a lot of bad shit. So anyway,
the Christmas movies are bad shit, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you keep talking about the Christmas. I'm not going to give you an in, although I do have a Christmas adjacent movie as my recommendation this week.
Oh, okay.
So Stranger Things, yeah, they're doing it like in a fucked up way where, so firstly, we've had to wait like how many years for Stranger Things?
Feels like literally since the 80s.
It has been that long, right? And this new trailer comes out, things bother me. The kids are still riding around bicycles.
And they're like 20-something.
I mean, that's not right. I mean, Millie Bobby Brown is married to Bon Jovi's son.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even make a Millie Bobby Bon Jovi. It must be in a contract.
Because, yeah, I mean, they've probably told her, don't have a baby yet.
We can't be doing that. Our CGI is good, but not good as that. But
so,
anyway.
Yeah, so the kids are like, first of all, their voices have all changed.
Oh, no, it's going to, I was really hoping there'd be a time jump to explain it, but no, they're leaning in, they're going, listen,
they're just going, these kids have just grown up overnight.
They just change your perspective.
And they're 15, we promise.
Yeah, really, that's never got anyone into trouble before. But no, obviously shit's going down, they're going to resolve it. Yes, they're releasing half of it November 26th, the other half like a month later,
right,
and the finale on New Year's Eve.
Ah.
So, at the time of the final countdown, you know what we're doing.
Right.
And in this trailer, Sarah Connor, they brought in Linda Hamilton to come sort shit out. Now you know Vecna is Fuckna, right? Linda Hamilton coming in. Remember when she came back in Terminator, could have been Terminator 2,
and she was so jacked. Yep.
And everyone was like, look at those fucking Sarah Connor arms.
Exactly.
Hey, she was.
And all my lesbian friends were like, I want Linda Hamilton arms.
Sure. Everyone wanted Linda Hamilton arms. They should have sold those. You know how you get the Hulk gloves?
Yeah.
And you just bash them? Like plastic styrofoamy Linda Hamilton arms that you wore. Mm. And then we held them up to there with Sarah Connor. Hey, why didn't they make that? They made so many shit toys in the 80s. They didn't make that one. I would have bought that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I don't know what Linda Hamilton's doing. She could be Sarah Connor.
Wow.
She could be.
Like a cross-pollination from Terminator.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, the timing's right.
You know my one thing that fucks me up about Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Winona Ryder being in it.
Yes.
Yet they watch Beetlejuice. They've watched Beetlejuice. They make Beetlejuice references. Sean Astin's also in it, and they make Goonies references.
Mm.
So it's like, who is Winona Ryder? I watched the second Beetlejuice.
Oh, I haven't yet.
Dory, it's good.
Really?
It's Beetlejuicy.
Well, I'm not opposed to watching it. I literally just haven't had time.
No. It's
and I'm going in with zero expectations.
No, well, like it's never going to capture the weirdness of seeing Beetlejuice for the first time.
Yes.
So straight after I watched Beetlejuice, I watched Beetlejuice.
I've watched Beetlejuice quite recently, so I think I'll be all right to just go straight into Beetlejuice.
Should we say Beetlejuice 3 times and just see what happens?
Sure. We've already said it about 7 times.
But not 3 times in a row. Beetlejuice. Once a fucking again, 80s movies lied to me. Not lying about the AI overlords. But yeah, not my movie recommendation this week, but no. Beetlejuice. Good movie. Lots of good stuff. Throwback stuff for the fans.
I'll make an effort.
No Baldwins. If you watch it for a Baldwin, no Baldwin.
Okay.
And there's a really great treatment of the Deo song.
Ah.
They do that really well.
Okay.
Dory, we don't normally talk about when people have passed away so soon, but I think this is one to talk about.
Yeah.
Is
bit of a shock, this one, actually.
Yeah. Really? Like when I saw the headline pop up, I was like, I didn't know he was sick.
Yeah. So you know how you get it on the phone and you only see half the headline?
Yes.
And I only saw his name and I was like, oh God, he's died.
Yes, exactly.
Like I didn't even need to click in to know that it was about the fact that he had died.
Oh, okay. I didn't. I kind of like.
But I was like, how did he die?
Malcolm Jamal Warner, if you haven't heard. You probably heard it by now. I mean, you're listening to this post-Friday.
Yeah.
He passed away earlier in this week. Malcolm Jamal Warner. Theo Huxtable died age 54 in a horrible drowning accident.
So weird.
He was on a family holiday, got caught in a current and drowned. That's horrid. Horrid, right?
It seems weird.
And, you know, when we do talk about people that have passed, because normally we miss life people. Mm. Or miss death them.
We kill them off too soon.
Yeah. Let's celebrate him because let me tell you something. I said this yesterday yesterday as recording day, but I said this when it got sent to me by a few people. And I was like, you know, at one stage he was probably the coolest Theo Huxtable was probably the coolest person on TV.
I think Lisa Bonet.
Our viewpoints are different, right?
Yes.
So I'm going 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Bart Simpson, Theo Huxtable, MacGyver's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he was vying for me as Theo Huxtable, one of the coolest people. Had the coolest clothes, had the coolest sneakers. Then Fresh Prince comes in and just blows the whole thing up.
Yeah.
But here you are, a little white suburban kid, 10 years old, and you see Theo Huxtable, you go, fuck, that guy is so cool.
Yep.
Hey, iconic role. He did a lot of stuff afterwards, but I think he will always be Theo Huxtable, especially
I saw that in the article, and I don't think I've seen any of the stuff he's done afterwards.
He did a show in the early 90s called Malcolm and Eddie with Eddie Griffin. That was kind of okay.
I kind of remember it.
It was in the wheelhouse of shows trying to be like Martin.
Yeah.
You know, never really as good, but just a cool guy. Just one of the cool, good guys on TV.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to have felt for him because The Cosby Show had such an amazing legacy until
he had spoken about that.
He did speak about it.
He said he's one of my mentors and he's been very influential and played a big role in my life as a friend and a mentor. Just as it's painful to hear any woman talk about sexual assault, whether true or not, it's just as painful to watch my friend and mentor go through this. I can't really speak on any of the allegations because obviously I was not there. The Bill Cosby I know has been great to me and great for a lot of people. What he's done for comedy and television has been legendary and history making. Not confronting it, but of course it's difficult. It's complicated.
One of those things. Liked what he said about the fact that the show was still iconic and important.
Yeah. It really was. I mean,
no matter what, that won't change.
If you think about the Cosby Show where it sat, and of course there were crossovers, of course there were black cast-led sitcoms on primetime television.
But it was the first one that showed like a upper-middle-class family.
And had always been upper-middle-class because I think if you had the Jeffersons, you know, they had risen up, you know. And of course you had Sanford and Son and a lot of those who were kind of, there was a minstrelish thing about it.
Yeah.
With the Cosbys, they were doctors, they were had come from money. They had lived in this brownstone in New York. Yes, and they just showed success and really upper middle class and working from home.
Yep.
Pioneers of showing working from home.
Yeah.
Just as much as Doogie Howser was a pioneer of the blog and a podcast. Was Doogie Howser a podcaster? I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? And anyway, great legacy. And yeah, one of the great all time. I loved Theo Huxtable. Loved him. Loved him.
Sure.
Up there with Bart Simpson for me. Loved the character. Dari, we're talking about Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor coming to save the day. You know what Tomorrowland is?
Yes. Are you going to talk about the fire?
Well, we're going to talk about, let me tell you a funny story. So of course, listen, if you go listen to that EDM show to get the latest on this, but Tomorrowland, big music festival in Belgium, and the day before the concert, the main stage catches fire.
Yeah.
And you go, well, you guys are fucked. Like, where are you? And Tomorrowland's elaborate.
Yeah.
Like, everything's big. Everything's spectacular. It's just over the top. Like, vaginas, people performing out of, like, prosthetic and pyrotechnic vaginas, I imagine.
You imagine.
Am I thinking You're not of sure. Am I thinking of a different place?
But are you not thinking of Burning Man?
Burning
Man. Burning Man's got, like, weird shit.
And the stage, and like now you go, well, it's tomorrow. It's not like in a week's time. It's tomorrow. You're fucked. It went ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect you know the story.
I actually don't. I didn't follow up after I saw that the stage.
Because they got a stage. Martin Garrix, you know him?
Yeah.
He does oomts, oomts. Our good friend, Celeb Savant, interviewed him. He puts out a post, a social media post on his Instagram. Have you heard of that one? Instagram. Mm. Have you heard of that one?
Mm.
It's a new one. Have you heard of that? He says, I cannot believe I'm actually typing this, but my set at Tomorrowland is still happening. Massive love and a big shout out to the incredible Tomorrowland team for pulling off miracles and Mystery Band for coming through with the new stage parts. He then captions a photo of himself and a member of this band with a black heart emoji in the comments. So there was a band who are also on a world tour, who just so happened to have their stage close by in Austria. You got to remember, Europe, small.
Yep.
So their stage is in Austria and they're just like, fucking hell, we're not using it. Get it over there. You guys can have it. Now, Dari.
I'm guessing it's an 80s band, or else why are you telling me?
Of course,
this?
It's an 80s band. Now, you got like different music genres now mesh over, they meld over.
Yeah.
But if we had to think of different music, that you were at this head, or you were that head, or you were this, you couldn't cross, you couldn't like different types of music back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Especially people who did heavy metal were the devils, weren't they, in the 80s?
Totally.
Satanic Panic. I'm going to narrow it down to heavy metal. Which heavy metal band do you think donated their stage to Tomorrowland?
I'm trying to think which heavy metal band would currently be on tour in Europe.
A huge tour, big tour, big tour.
I honestly can't think. I can't even think of a heavy metal band.
Enter the Sandman, Metallica.
Oh, Metallica.
Said, well, fucking use our stage. We're not using it. So Martin Garrix posted his photo with Lars Ulrich. Now, Dari, does that not fucking show a fucking black nail painted middle finger to all those tunnies who are telling us Satanic Panic, Metallica are the devil, they invoke the devil? Metallica have been like sober for years.
They have.
You got to love a story like that. You got to listen.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, there's always a happy ending at Tomorrowland, especially when there's pyrotechnic vaginas.
Right.
Right. I may have got Tomorrowland very, very wrong in my head. Another story that was passed around this week that I loved, Rick Springfield. He was on the Today Show. One of those things, again, just kind of a story blown up out of proportion. Like
completely.
Completely.
Like, wow, these guys have nothing to write about.
Yeah. So the, what's it, Today Show in the States, big show, huge, right? Everyone, you go on there, it's a big
morning
thing.
Morning TV.
Morning TV. And Rick Springfield's part of a tour called I Want My 80s with John Waite, Wang Chung, Paul Young, and John Cafferty.
I would really like to see that tour. I have to tell you.
I would love to go on that tour.
Yeah.
I don't want Tomorrowland.
No.
You know, now, here's the thing, right? Tomorrowland. Oh, because, I mean, it's multiple days. Music never stops. It's just nonstop, nonstop, nonstop.
Nonstop, doof, 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 doof. I could think of nothing worse, actually.
I want my 80s tour.
Yeah.
Oh, out of the sun, lots of water, lots of very, like, food that is not going to cause indigestion.
Mm-hmm.
Done by 7.
Yeah.
Orderly queues in and out. Like, that's, you know.
All seated.
All seated in the shade. That's where you and I are.
Yeah. No camping. We go off to the hotel.
Yeah, back to the hotel, bust, air conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's for us, not Tomorrowland, no. And he was on promoting it, and they asked him obviously stories about Jesse's girl, and they said, you know, he's answering, going to polite, answer the same question. Jesse's girl taking a life of his own, and the only person I really know their name from the show, Al Roker. Rick Springfield catches him yawning.
Yeah,
like, am I boring you with my story? Now, when I read this whole story, it sounds a lot more hectic, like awkward moment, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you watch the video, like, oh, it's so friendly. Like, he was just having a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Completely.
I was like,
I just laughed it off.
I was like, when I first saw the story, I was like, but Rick Springfield's not a dick.
Well, we don't know.
No, well, he never comes across as a dick.
Yeah.
He's professional. They know what they're doing. He can't be a dick because no one's going to come to his show. Because then people's eyes go, oh, so rude, Rick Springfield. He might just do a fuck when he's saying on stage. Okay. And so it's a really nothing story. A lot of nothingness. No.
For me, the bigger part of the story was how Rick Springfield looks.
You want to get into that?
I mean, I'm looking at
a photo here. I can tell you, so the hair, look, hair, these guys, the hair's always spectacular. It's not theirs. I can get it. You know, we all appreciate a boob job. He's wearing a black suit, black jacket, black shirt, open up. I got to say, there's got to be a point where you stop wearing the choker necklaces. Right. So the photo I'm looking at, I'll pop that up, that Eddie show you say on Facebook page. Yeah. It's like an onyx choker with a little gold medallion, but very tight on his neck.
Let's just remind ourselves how ridiculously hot Rick Springfield was in the 80s.
And he would turn ahead now.
Still looks so good.
I know, but I got to look for something
too. But when you take a closer look and when you watch him speak, that facelift, or should I say those facelifts. There's zero movement in his face when he speaks.
Stretching at the seams. Okay.
He is on his last pull.
Oh, really?
I reckon. I know nothing about plastic surgery, but at some point, just age gracefully, people.
Yeah, I'm watching a bit of a close-up.
He's a really good-looking guy. He probably would have aged just fine.
Yeah. But his lips did move. He did like a little pursed lip thing.
Mm.
He had a bit of an Elvis thing there, and it's like. But yeah, there's not a lot of expression. I can't, even at this point here where he's asking the guy if he's, I can't tell if he's angry, sad, not interested.
Very hard to tell any emotion from that skin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he probably would look fine if he hadn't done that.
The more I look at it now, I'm actually seeing that where this little necklace joins.
Oh, he's covering up the neck skin. Yes.
There's a reason he's wearing that.
Because you can't fix the neck skin.
So it actually links very nicely to what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Before you read the story, you take it on face value. It's like, oh, imagine an 80s person. My dream, because we've interviewed 80s people.
We have.
And they're all so polite. They're all so lovely. And they're professional. And we ask dumb shit sometimes.
Yeah.
We ask really stupid. You've been asked this a million times before. I just wanted them to be a dick to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd actually kind of go, yeah. Like, remember, did we speak about when what said person was very rude to Celeb Savant?
We did. I don't think we mentioned her name.
Oh, terribly rude. But actually, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I tell the story of someone we know that interviewed the Foo Fighters and tried to do a different interview, and they just put the phone down on him. It's like, fuck you, guy. Like, you know, we've got to do 20 of these things. I don't need your shit,
yeah.
Right? We just got our battery of questions we're going to go through. So, dream 80s person to be a dick to you. of who's around. Because remember, a lot of them,
yeah, you
know, they're doing revival tours. They can't be seen as dicks, especially a show as ours.
I want anyone to be a dick to me, though.
No, they come to South Africa. They got to be on our show. We are the premier 80 show on the continent. You know, they know big hitters. You know, they got to come here. They got to do the thing. I think.
Okay, I've got someone.
Okay. Now, is this who you think you'd be a dick or who you'd want to be a dick?
This is someone who would be a dick if they've listened to any of these shows.
Okay. Yes. Who?
Jason Donovan.
No.
He's too nice. He'd be way too nice.
And even then, he'd be a dick to you. Bross would hate you. Bross would be dicks.
I think so.
The one was
at
on,
least one of them.
The one who's in
the movie
Property. No, the one who's in Property.
Oh, so Matt.
Yeah, I
not
think.
Luke.
Yeah,
I Luke's think, one in the movies.
Yeah, I think Matt would be a dick.
Yeah.
He's just living a different life. Midge would tell us to fuck off.
Probably.
Yeah, Midge would have no time for us. So, and then Bob Geldof probably would as well. Gary Kemp was quite.
He had some words for us.
He wasn't having us.
No.
He was having me. I think it was you and Barrett. He didn't like you guys. He wasn't into you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we had stripy t-shirts on. We were cool. He wasn't into you guys. who wouldn't be a dick, but I'd love him to be a dick to us. And of course, this is the gold standard. This is the end game. Andrew Ridgely.
I was about to say.
He would never be rude to us. But I think I'd push him.
I see you pushing him. I see it.
Just to get that, because if you're new to the show, you haven't heard this before. If we ever get Andrew Ridgely on the show, that's the last episode. Because we completed the 80s.
Yeah.
Right? To get him. So.
Chances are so slim.
Remember we
have tried and we have been rejected already.
We were, yeah, but we didn't then go back.
They wanted a fee. His people wanted a fee.
Well, those people, I can't say they were his people.
They were people.
Would I get, now this opens up a whole different genre of yucks versus yams. Would I pay to have Andrew Ridgely be rude to me? Call me a twat. I'd love Andrew Ridgely to call me a twat in his lovely little owl voice. You're a twat. Yes.
Yes.
That's a sick thing now. Hey?
Weird kink, but okay.
I'm suddenly very, very aware that I may have a kink. Andrew Ridgely just called me a twat.
How many 80 stars can I get to call me a twat?
Oh, fuck that. Now you've just given me a new podcast. You know, sometimes Dory and I talk about, you know, like we should have another series that we just drop in when it's difficult to record, whatever. So,
yeah.
And I go, how could I do a series? I started a series about action figures called Money Keys. I lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
But how many 80s people can I get to call me a twat? That is the show.
So it's kind of like Between Two Ferns, where you
yes
go in with an agenda.
Yes, to be called a twat. I'm into it. So that is, I'm actually aroused now. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm actually very keen. You know what's a toy, an 80s toy that needs no improving? None whatsoever.
Rubik's Cube.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got it. First try.
Not much you can do with it. I mean, they've put different patterns.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You can individualize different colors, themes, corporate stuff.
But it still works the same.
Do you know that they upgraded the Rubik's Cube? They've upgraded it.
To what?
To the Wow Cube, Dory. It is called the Wow Cube. Now, let me explain this fucking monstrosity to you. It's the Rubik's Wow Cube, made by Cubios, revealed a new twist to its popular brain game, noting each side of the rotatable cube features four screens and a series of gyroscopes that open up a realm of new interactive possibilities. Now, when you read shit like that, you go, no, it doesn't. The newest installment also hosts an open platform that encourages software developers to create and upload original games, utility apps, and interactive experiences of their own. I don't fucking get how it works. Dory, take a look at it. It's, imagine a Rubik's Cube, but instead of the little colored tiles, it's lots of little screens.
No.
So each side is a four little touchscreen.
No, what? That's a whole different thing.
It's not a Rubik's Cube.
No.
He has it in action, kind of like, so you can twist it still. And okay. It does move, and the little things do move. I mean,
this looks like it would be really expensive for not much more enjoyment at all.
Like zero. Like it's just now, and you got to charge it. You got to connect it to Wi-Fi, I imagine.
No, come on.
Let's see how much it costs.
Do the kids these days have to have a screen on everything?
A screen on fucking everything. Oh, no price. Join the wait list. There's going to be a long fucking wait. Nobody wants a piece of shit.
It's going to be so expensive compared to a normal Rubik's Cube.
Because you just take it. Each one of those screens has got a gyroscope.
You know what's going to happen? There's going to be a short generation of kids who think this is cool. Then they're going to discover the original Rubik's Cube and go, this is way better.
Yeah. There's a little promotional video. We got two chummers playing with it and they're being robbed in the background because they're so engaged. So allegedly, so it looks like you can still move the cubes, move the little things around.
Yeah, I see it.
I've been looking a lot at this thing. It defeats the number one best thing about the Rubik's Cube, the ability to take off the stickers and pretend that you've done it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, it allows you to turn your downtime, have downtime and escape the grind. You can put little fishies on it while you're sleeping.
I kind of like that. But then it's not a Rubik's Cube. That's a nightlight.
It is.
I like it as a nightlight.
It's like so many things that we have elsewhere. You know what I mean? It's like Paddle.
Yeah.
It's like, we got enough of these. Do we need it? It's the Paddle of toys. We've got it. The founder.
I'm very curious to see how much it's going to sell for. It's going to be crazy expensive.
WowCube brilliantly combines play and learning, reflecting the innovative spirit of STEM.org, the makers. It's the most incredible thing I've seen in a long time. Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple.
Do you think the original Rubik's Cube isn't selling anymore?
You know, you get the original Rubik's Cube, then you get like a billion knockoffs.
Yeah.
I just don't think we needed
the China Mall versions that don't move properly.
We just didn't need another one. No. We don't need this. You know what I need? Talking about toys, of course, you go look at the Rubik's Cube. Somebody in the UK found in a stash, brand new in their boxes, still sealed Star Wars toys, original figurines in there, including Luke Skywalker and R2-D2. It still has original pricing on the packaging, £1.59.
Did they forget they had it?
It was just in somebody, it was in a, somebody was moving, they opened the boxes, they found these things, still sealed, the cards are a bit damaged, but they expect, there's an Ewok in there, they're expecting that average, they're going to sell them for £1,000,
yeah,
and the most rare one for £6,000.
But do you sell it, or do you hang on to it?
I would keep R2-D2, mm-hmm. or Luke's, I'd keep R2-D2, I'd sell the rest.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about? 6-1, that's 9 clams there. £9,000. Have you checked the exchange rate lately?
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
But won't it be more in 5 years' time?
No, I think they've reached a cap on it.
You think?
I think the market's bottomed out. I think.
Okay, then definitely so.
You know the thing, people say, oh, I'll keep it one day and I'll, no, but it's we're in mass production now. You know how many fucking He-Mans, original He-Mans were made? You know how many? Many. No. They're not worth shit. So if you have a little He-Man and you play with it every day and recreate little scenes and Castle Grayskull, keep doing that because they're not worth anything. Your memories and your wife saying, stop fucking playing with your toys, is more valuable.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So you've heard.
People tell me. So, Dory, we love a multimedia recommendation. Rebirth this feature for you. And each week we go into the video stores of our minds. Painting the picture, smells damp. I tell my video store, rain got in the front door. Every time it rained. Every time it rained, you had to walk through a gush first.
Because they had those carpets.
So many carpets in the 80s.
Yeah.
Loved a carpet.
Yeah.
Loved it. And are we checking out a movie this week or what are you bringing to the table?
We're checking out a TV series.
Ooh.
It's a bit of a cheat because most people would think of this as a 90s series, but the first episode aired in 1989, and therefore, for me, it's an 80s series.
It's what you want to own, right? Same as Simpsons. Simpsons is an 80s series.
Yeah, and the thing is, when I tell you what series I'm going to talk about, you're going to say, yeah, but a lot of it, even though it came out in the 90s, it was very 80s-ish still. The clothes, the mannerisms, the storyline,
the brown carpets.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was actually a fair amount of brown now that you mention it.
Yeah.
But when I think of this show, I think blue, white. Anyway, yellow, red, I guess. That's the logo. I'm talking about Seinfeld because I've wanted to talk about Seinfeld.
Wow.
On this show for so long.
Okay. Well done.
And I only discovered the other day that the first episode aired in 1989.
The weird pilot episode.
Yes, which I rewatched the other night.
Yeah. It's very strange, that pilot episode.
And yet it totally sets the tone for the show. It introduces the characters. It introduces the weirdness of it. All the things, actually. How 80s was Jerry's leather jacket?
Very much so.
You know what I'm saying? That was a very 80s, with like the tapered bottom.
Yeah.
Elaine's hair.
Was Elaine in the pilot?
She wasn't.
Yeah, she wasn't in the pilot. She was in the first episode, not the pilot.
They brought her in because after the pilot, they realized it was very male heavy.
Yeah.
And they needed a female.
Mm.
But it actually ran until 1998, so most of the 90s.
So funny that you're actually talking about this because obviously Seinfeld's become my comfort show. You know, you just go through a period. You rotate because now I've got to go start on Friends now again.
Oh, well, I'm on season 3 of Seinfeld.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Making my way through.
Okay.
I am going from the beginning.
Yeah. So I did that in comfort show and I actually watched the, and you know, when you have a comfort show, sometimes you fall asleep to it.
Some are
just playing in the background. And listen, it's probably like my 7th or 8th run through it. I watched the finale.
Okay.
The other day. And they do shit on the finale. And then, of course, I don't know if you're going to mention Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
They shit on the finale. The finale is just so funny and so good how it wraps up.
I do have to say, I think with Seinfeld, it did get better and better as it went along.
Well, like all of them, yeah.
Yeah.
You find your groove.
And there are certain episodes that I have not forgotten, even though I haven't seen them since the 90s.
Now, Dory, let's assume people don't know Seinfeld.
Oh, like if you've been living under a rock or
but
in a cave.
But there are a lot of people that just refuse. You know, like you know, cousin Louis.
Yeah.
Such a Friends fan, refused to watch Seinfeld.
Why?
Just one of those.
Like you refused to watch The Princess Bride.
He was more like it was more a philosophical thing. You know, if you go to Tomorrowland, you can't like Metallica. You know, that sort of thing. And so many people were saying to just give it a chance, give it a chance.
Yeah, don't judge it on the pilot because the pilot, as good as it is, it gets better.
Totally converted.
Yeah.
No, still a Friends fan. And you can be both. You don't have to be one or the other. You can be both. But now, yes, assume people don't know about Seinfeld. What is it?
It's known as the show about nothing because a lot of it is just talking and like, observations of life.
Dumb shit. Shit that happens. Yeah.
But they do generally have a storyline, actually. The episodes do have a vague storyline. So the pilot storyline is Jerry's a stand-up comedian. He travels around doing shows. At some point, he met a woman in another city, and she then contacted him and said, listen, I'm going to be in New York. He lives in New York. I'm going to be in New York. Can we get together? He's getting all excited. He's like, ooh, she's interested in me. He tells his friend George. Now, George is probably one of the best TV characters ever created, honestly.
Neurotic.
So neurotic.
Self-involved, self-loathing.
Actually a revolting person, but so funny.
Yeah. Because what they do so great on Seinfeld is each character, as bizarre as they are, each character is a little bit of yourself.
Or, you can relate to all of them in some way.
No matter how caricatured they are, you're all of them.
And they've all got like really terrible characteristics and really funny characteristics as well. So Kramer is the neighbor who's very weird. And also like, I could never be friends with someone like Kramer in real life. He would drive me mad.
No, totally.
Completely mad. That being said, I actually do have a friend very similar to Kramer.
It's quite funny because you have Kramerisms about you.
Do I?
You know, I've often said Dory is every character in Seinfeld in one person.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of compliment, actually.
I think it is.
I definitely have a lot of George in me.
We all have. Yeah.
Yeah. And Elaine is so funny, because what I love about Elaine is she's got like this extreme emotions.
Yes.
She gets so worked up over nothing.
What I love about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is very similar to it, is that, you know, the female characters always tend to be the handbrake of everything.
Yeah.
I love it when female characters go down and even to a lower level.
Yes.
So they're at least as bad as the male characters, and a lot of times they're worse. Right. And Elaine,
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, definitely does that.
Definitely. You know, when Sweet D like takes herself down to the worst, but Elaine does it as well. She's also got her things, you know, with the sponge, you know, her favorite birth control was running out. So she was actually having guys do tests and made them shave their sideburns before they had sex because she didn't want to waste them.
There was an episode I watched recently from the 90s, obviously, where Elaine and Jerry go down to Florida to visit Jerry's parents.
Oh, I was actually saying to my wife yesterday that the ones set in the old age home or the retirement community with Jerry's parents. Yeah.
It was so funny because one of the main storylines in that episode is, so yeah, they're in a retirement village and one of the neighbors comes and he's got a space pen.
Yes.
Now, I used to work in stationery. I used to sell the space pen. And we were given like a script almost.
And all of, just because you could write upside down.
It's whole thing. And can I give you the script? Oh, can I go back to my retail days?
Yes, let's do it.
And say, this pen is really special. They've used it in space because it can write upside down. You know what the Russians used?
Pencils.
That was the selling point. And everyone laughs and then they buy the pen.
Right.
I had a space pen. I don't know what ever happened to it. I'm very sad that I no longer have it.
You probably gave it to somebody and somebody liked it. They asked
well, this
you
is the storyline in the episode of Seinfeld, is that he's so impressed by it. And like you can see, so Jerry's like, that's so cool. And the guy's like, do you want it? And Jerry's like, cool, thanks. And then the guy literally tells everyone how Jerry took his favorite possession.
And it just becomes because the biggest
grumpy
story.
Grumpy old man.
Yes.
Grumpy old man.
Yes.
That is what Seinfeld's about. Grumpy old, many of them Jewish people.
You got your four main characters.
Neurosis.
But the great thing about Seinfeld is all the extra characters. So Jerry's parents, George's parents
Jerry
are the best.
Jerry is the absolute least interesting of all of them.
But when I love when Jerry loses his shit.
Yeah.
And he just starts, and you can see, cause Jerry Seinfeld's not a great actor.
No.
He can only literally play Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
And the amount of times he wants to break and just kill himself laughing at his shit because he's like so, and it's like nobody's going to get rid of him. It's his show.
Yeah.
But all the extra characters, George's parents, played by Jerry Stiller.
Oh, my God.
Is it Jerry Stiller? Ben Stiller's dad.
Yes.
One of the best characters ever on TV.
Ever.
Newman, Soup Nazi.
Yep.
So that's just what makes Seinfeld. And the ridiculous people. And one of the things is the nicknames of people, and this is obviously now I've been watching the finale, is that you just have names for people like the close talker.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the two-faced, the lady who's
the two-faced lady,
pretty
yes,
light.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, if you're a dickhead of a person.
Yeah.
What a show for you. And it's so counter sitcom, I think, as well. That's why it must have really jarred in the 80s and early 90s, because we were like, our sitcoms are still saccharine and kind of sweetish and whatever.
And it was, in fact, after the pilot, it wasn't immediately picked up after the pilot because people were like, no, this is too weird.
Yeah.
It's not really funny.
Yeah.
We don't really get it.
They're not families.
And then the people who had watched the pilot were like, no, we want more of that. We loved it. But it was the studio, like the suits.
Yeah,
suits were like, we don't think this is going to work. But the audience was like, we want it.
And they recreate that whole kind of journey as one of the plot lines in Seinfeld. It really is. If you've never watched Seinfeld before, and you may never have watched it, just give it
You've
a watch.
You've got to give it a shot.
It's just,
you've got to give it a shot.
And you know what? I suppose the one thing is, and this is maybe the thing of rewatching things, because, you know, when Seinfeld came out, when Netflix did it, there's one thing if you watch it on Netflix that fucks with you, the ratio that they shot it in. Because obviously Seinfeld was shot for like a little tube TV square.
Yeah, so it's kind of squarish, yeah.
So now they obviously have to, you see how fucked up the apartment and everything around it is so dirty. Because it was never supposed to be seen. Once you see that, you cannot unsee how filthy everything is around.
Oh, wow.
Because it wasn't supposed to be on screen.
Wasn't paying that much attention to it, I'll be honest.
So I knew it, so afterwards.
Yeah.
So one of the crazy things about Seinfeld is Jerry always has, not Jerry Seinfeld, one of the richest men in the world.
Yep.
definitely one of the richest entertainers, horse-faced guy. And people often say he looks like a horse. But when you're the producer of the show and your name's on the masthead, you always get the best girlfriends.
Yeah.
Because I'm always amazed at all the girlfriends he has. And a lot of them, all is very beautiful, and a lot of them are very, very famous names. So can I just go through a list of people who were in this?
Who played his girlfriends.
And this is just from the top 30. This is a list of like all of his girlfriends. Gian Garofalo.
Yeah.
Who played the girlfriend who was exact like him. Remember they had exactly the same personality. Yes. Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls. She played his girlfriend at one stage. Jane Leaves from Frasier.
Yes.
Which is Daphne. I think her character was Daphne in Frasier.
She was also in Throb. What a great show.
Oh, yes. I remember Throb. Marlee Matlin. Remember her? She was the hearing impaired.
Yes, yes, yes.
Actress. And she played a character like that. Jamie Gertz. Huh. Pops up as his girlfriend. Deborah Messing. Helen Slater. Courtney Cox. Lori Loughlin. Amanda Peet. Kirsten Davies from Sex and the City. Christine Taylor, who married Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
And, of course, Terry Hatcher. They're real and they're spectacular.
I think that he might have gone, let's get her to play my girlfriend.
But you know,
I would.
You know the controversy? He was dating a high school girl. Like at one stage, he was dating a 15 or 16 year old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not, yeah, there was a bit of a weird thing going on there. Yeah. Mm. Mm.
There's so many things from Seinfeld that still permeate my general life.
Yeah.
We talk about Festivus every festive season. We talk about Festivus. I wish people happy Festivus. I tell people to watch the Festivus episode.
You know how many people
not?
Probably use Festivus and have no reason where, no idea where it comes from.
That is one of the best TV episodes ever made.
Do you know they invented the phrase yada yada yada?
Yes,
I
know.
It came from Seinfeld.
Yeah,
great recommendation. Great, it is on Netflix. All episodes, entirety of the run.
I sometimes say no soup for you when I'm making soup at home.
And I mean, that's another thing. Like, so in that it was soup Nazi.
Yeah.
But since then, grammar Nazis.
Yeah.
Your parking Nazis. It kind of like bought this, so many things. The influence on Seinfeld on our culture is actually insane. And it started in the 80s. Even though the 90s tried to own it. It did start in, like, all the good things started in the 80s. Dory, I have, again, going into movies that starred people that went on to, you know, to become bigger. Another time travel movie this week.
Oh my goodness. And you said it was Christmas adjacent.
Well, basically because the time they land in is around Christmas. I'll tell you the Christmassy things. Time travel, we've had lots of different time travels. Watches, cars, telephone booths. In this one, time travel is achieved through a serum, a drug.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you inject it?
It's a movie called Trances. Trances.
Trances.
Now, Trances is the name given to, it's like a zombie-like disease people get and they go into a trance and then they try to kill you. Okay.
So it's a zombie movie and a time travel movie.
Time traveling, zombie, mind control, synth noir movie.
Synth noir.
Neo-wave synth noir movie. That's how I'll describe it. It stars a guy, love him, Tim Thomason. Not to be confused with Tom Timmerson. Tim Thomason, very famous from all of the Trances movies. They made five.
Okay.
Five Trances movies.
All in the 80s?
No, they spanned. And his character is called Jack Death, D-E-T-H. And he's this, like, we're in 2027. This is where we start now, right? With all the leftovers from Blade Runner. They're trying to do Blade Runner on a budget. So it kind of looks like Blade Runner in the 50s, right? And Jack Death is this cop, and he hunts down these trances, okay? Mind-controlled people, and they're very easy to kill. And when they kill, they just poof, burst and disappear. They don't even stay behind. They're very considerate.
They don't leave a mess?
No, no mess. Just like burnt floor. Scrub it, put a carpet over it. Huh. What are you going to do? And the guy who created the serum for these trances. Now, Jack Death is about to catch him. And he escapes back in time.
As you do.
As you do, back to 1985.
Okay.
So Jack Death's like, fuck this guy. I was about to get him. I was about to get the antidote. And now he's fucked off back to 1985. Gets fired from the police force, but then gets approached by this agency that goes, listen, we know how to send you back. You're the only guy we're going to send you back to 1985 to go kill him. Now, how this time travel works is you take the serum and you don't go back as yourself. You go back and inhabit the body of someone who is in your bloodline. So someone who's an ancestor.
Okay.
You with me?
Yes.
So you can only go back not as yourself.
So it would be as if Marty McFly went back and became George McFly. Got it.
You got it, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, would they have the decency to cast separate actors? If it's Michael J. Fox, maybe not. All the actors just play kind of younger looking versions of themselves, but they're different family members, but they look exactly like.
Because it's the same actor.
The same actor.
Do I know any of these actors?
I'll tell you. So Jack Death goes back to 1985 and he lands in the body of a ancestor. We don't know what he was.
Grandfather.
We're talking perhaps. 300 years. 300 fucking years, Dory.
Wait, 300 years?
Exactly.
You said 2027, no? 27.
2247.
Oh, I thought you said, yeah. Okay.
20. I could have, but just for, I would have edited it back. 2247.
2247. Oh, we're talking hundreds of years.
300 years, they're going back, right?
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
It's quite a way to go back.
It is quite a way back. Now, you know, we're doing a family tree. And in our family tree, I found people descended from 1700s.
Yeah.
Right?
I've also got a family tree.
So it's going back to them.
Yeah.
Right? So he inhabits this body and it's now some family of his long lost, great, whatever. Phil Death, who's a journalist. Okay?
Right.
Phil Death, and he wakes up, Phil Death next to Phil Death's girlfriend. It's like a cool punk rocky chick played by a very young and half naked Helen Hunt.
Huh.
She of very serious actress fame. Helen Hunt is his girlfriend. So that's the...
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. And she's kind of like this punk rocker. And he's a straight-laced journalist. They don't quite work. She's a punk rocker and she's got a job as a mall... She helps out the mall Santa. And now Phil / Mr. Death, the cop, tells her the whole... takes her to go drop her off at a job. Because now she thinks he's...
He's Phil.
He's Phil. When he's there...
It must be such a culture shock to go back from 2247 to 1985.
Never discussed, never embraced, never... It's just, I'm here now, I'm looking for this guy who made the trances.
Right.
Okay? Assuming there's no...
They would know about the old timies, because they would have watched movies from the 80s.
From 300 years ago, exactly.
They would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 300 years' time, people are still going to be watching Back to the Future.
Damn right they will. He assumes there's no trances in the 80s. The Santa, the mall Santa, trancer, attacks
him. Kidding?
Yeah. Attacks him, got to fight this. At some point, a kid gets punched in the face. It's so 80s. You know, we'd never punch a kid in the face now.
This movie made in the 80s.
Made 1984.
Okay.
Yeah. So now he knows, fuck, there's trances here. Okay. So now it leads him to this thing. He's got to go find the villain. The villain's name is Martin Whistler. I don't think I said it earlier. So now he's on a hunt to find the villain.
Who plays him?
Oh, a guy.
Okay.
Nobody. The only person you'll recognize in this is Helen Hunt and Tim Thomason. You'll never recognize him. No.
Yeah, I don't think
he looks like Dolph Lundgren of Timu.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not,
now I'm very curious.
Not a good replica.
Okay.
Not at all.
So far, I'm very keen to watch this movie.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even told you. So anyway, fights the mall Santa, gets out. She's, what the fuck was that? I work with this guy is a thing, explains the whole thing. And she's like, okay, cool. How can I help you? Not shocked. Not, okay, cool. Let's help you. So he now, shenanigans, he now starts trying to track down this villain. Ends up in a tanning salon. The tanning salon just so happens to be run by a trancer who locks him in the most psychotic looking tanning bed you ever see. He can't even touch shit. Keeps burning him. He gets out. Helen Hunt saves him. He lies on the floor. He's all been burnt and everything. He goes, oh, what do you think of my tan? Now this movie is full of those chirps.
Okay.
Straight to video chirps. Fucking fantastic. So now they're... on a hunt, they're looking with Helen Hunt. They go on a hunt. And kind of like weird. Time travel movies are always fucked. Because you go, but if I kill this guy now, what happens? Because how does time work? If you kill this, does it make other things? And they're just all over the place with the time travel. It's, you know, yeah. they don't give a shit. They don't go, well, this, yeah. you said, yeah, no, fuck it, whatever. And he's about, now, of course, they've been through this traumatic thing. I know you're not full. I know you're his, like, super, super weird relationship.
Distant.
They're about to do sex, oh, right?
Yeah.
Knock on the door, a little girl's there.
Uh-huh.
The little girl is the leader of the secret organization that sent him back. She's an ancestor of the lieutenant running that, right?
Okay.
You with me?
Yes.
But the only ancestor she could find was this little girl. So she came back. She's ended up in the body of this little girl.
Okay.
She said, I had to sneak past the parents or whatever and all this. I'm like, now, I don't know if you get to choose the ancestor or you just get dropped in, because why wouldn't you take up the body of the parents?
Exactly.
Right?
That makes no sense.
How weird that they end up exactly the same city. Huh? Mm. Anyway, and then it's quite funny because the little girl swears and she's got guns and at one point is looking for cigarettes. So let's play it for effect. There's this whole side story going on about a fucking baseball card, right?
Okay.
That's Full Death, Jack Death, Mr. Death in 2247 has got this baseball card. Like, will baseball card survive 300 fucking years? Nobody knows. He's got this card and he wants to get it signed by the guy. Anyway. So they're hunting down. Now he goes,
like, never mind that you're trying to save humanity. Let's get the baseball card signed.
Exactly, Dory. Exactly. So now Dr. Death, Cop Death, Sergeant Death, Mr. Death now gets taken out of his mission and taken back to 2247 for a rebrief. This whole thing's fucked. He gets given the second of what I didn't tell you he has. He's got a watch that can stop time. Looks like an Apple Watch.
Okay.
It can pause time, turn 1 second into 10. The first time he uses it is to stop Helen Hunt's character from being shot.
Okay.
He stops time for like 3 hours. Like, literally, it takes the longest 10 seconds I've ever seen. Okay? So he's got this watch. He gets given another watch and a couple of spacey weapons. Did I tell you that they can also send stuff from the future back to where he is?
No.
So at one point, he doesn't have a gun. And he goes, don't worry. And he looks and suddenly a gun appears. They've sent him a gun.
Oh, because they knew he needed it.
Are they watching him? Did they plot this whole thing?
Maybe it's like telekinesis.
Telekinesis. Have they seen this happen before? How many times have they tried this shit?
Yeah.
It'll hurt your head, Dory.
Sounds like it.
Oh.
Still keen to watch.
They're going through. They end up in this warehouse, abandoned. And they find in the middle of the warehouse a group of, and I said, because that's what they called them in the 80s, a group of hobos playing baseball. Right?
Alrighty.
Just so happens that the hobo, who's got a hell of a pitching arm, is the guy in the baseball card.
But then you can't show him that he's going to become.
No, he's already been.
Oh, he's been.
Yes, he already was a famous baseball player, down on his luck.
Okay.
Hobo.
Okay.
Right? Signs the card. He goes, oh, I can't believe the story. Suck. He doesn't know he's from the future. So I'm going to get my life back on track. He says, well, before you do that, you're going to help me.
Mm.
Tells him the story. Off he goes, big final set scene, meets the villain, things.
Shenanigans,
they're fighting. And just as now Mr. Death has his chance to kill the villain, he can't kill him because if he kills him, he kills his ancestor whose body he's taken over.
Right.
Right?
Yes. It's
very complicated.
And then he messes with the future.
He kills a normal guy. Can't do it. Anyway, they suspend him in
some anime. Think of that beforehand?
Yeah.
Why? Clearly not.
Anyway, a man's called Death. He's going to kill you.
Mm.
But the final two things, just before he gets his final set scene to kill him, is that Helen Hunt's character falls off the roof of a building.
Ooh.
Thank God he's got the 10-second watch.
Yeah.
Zip lines off an electricity line to get down before her and catch her. But now the villain's going to get away. Guess who's hiding in the dumpster? Baseball man.
Oh, I thought you were going to say little girl.
Little girl's there. She's watching the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Baseball man throws baseballs, hits the guy in the head. He falls off the roof.
Huh.
That's how Mr. Death gets to him.
Right.
Now Mr. Death can't kill him. Suspended animation. They go. They take him back. And there's some weird reason why. Oh, yes. They only sent back 2 serums to send him back. So one for Mr. Death to go back to 2247, one for him to send the other guy back.
Right.
One vial had broken.
Ooh.
So he doesn't go back. He sends the bad guy back.
Right.
He stays now.
With Helen Hunt.
With Helen Hunt. Now, a couple of questions here.
So many questions, actually.
Firstly, where's Full Death in this whole thing? Are you just going to live life as Full Death? Jack Death? Helen Hunt obviously loved Full Death, unless she didn't love him.
She seemed to get over it quite quickly. Right. I mean,
no problem. So yeah. You're kind of going, but
they look the same, didn't they?
Well, and if that's what she's going on, well, then it's just you.
You know.
You know, this Death as a cop, he's a dick. He's terrible. He's got vices. Now suddenly he's fine. The other thing that raises to me is that it gets revealed that Helen Hunt is also a relative of his. Right?
Ew.
So assuming that Full Death and Helen Hunt got together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she would be a relative. Now he's coming back, and is it an aunt? What relation is this fucking woman to you now that you're going to bonk her?
Bring out the family tree.
Right. Do some pruning. That's what I'm watching this movie. I'm going, no, but fuck now. She's like, you can't bonk now. Fucking what? Go back. Anyway, so that's the movie. Called Trances.
I don't need to watch it.
Let me tell you about Helen Hunt. They made 5 of them. How many after this?
Okay.
Plus a comic book, plus a... Helen Hunt was in Trances up to Trances 3, the same year that Mad About You came out.
Oh, yes. I imagine that she left Trances to do Mad About You.
How do you imagine?
Good decision.
Yeah, very good. She says, she jokes about the movie, says it gave her career an early boost.
Yeah.
But yes, she stayed in it until just, I mean, this was the last thing she did before Mad About You. She was probably cast in Mad About You at the time.
And the others didn't make it out of Trances, eh?
No, well, listen, Tim Thomason just, you know, he became the king of Trances. It's become, like in all of these movies that I do, it's become cult classic.
Right.
Never released, straight to video.
I'll watch the trailer.
And that's a beautiful thing about straight to video, right?
Yeah.
You'd go there. Of course, the big movies are out, or you watch the big movie already. Now you got to get something. You got to get 10 movies on your contract. You take all sorts of shit. You then watch it. You tell your friend or your friend's over having a sleepover. He goes, fuck. They go have a sleepover at another friend's house. Mm. They're like, holy shit. That one goes. That's what's called going viral.
Yeah.
In those days.
Totally.
You know, your carpets had viruses, and that's how we made things go viral.
That's also how everyone got chickenpox.
Ooh. Yes. People get chickenpox now. There's so much chickenpox going on.
Well, I mean, in the 80s, they, like, you know, they the whole thing was that the kids must get all the childhood diseases.
Yeah.
So when one kid got it, they tried to get all the kids to have it at the same time. So they would put them together.
I had chickenpox for one day.
Lucky you.
I had symptoms one day and the next day I was fine.
I had chickenpox as an adult. Would not recommend.
You see, my people, the Portuguese people, us and chickens were close. But so tell me, chickenpox as an adult?
I got it when my kid got inoculated for it.
That's fine. And as bad as adults.
Oh.
Yeah, your balls will fall off, so yeah.
Horrible.
I'm not a doctor.
I was off work for 2 weeks.
Plus side.
Would not recommend.
Oh, really? Okay. Listen, I'm going to wrap up that 80 show with a check-in on David Hasselhoff.
Oh, yay.
Of course, it was his birthday last week.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. 17th of July. David Hasselhoff's birthday, turned 73. Looking good. Dari, did you know this? And it's still true to this day. In 2011, David Hasselhoff got announced by the Guinness Book of Records as the most watched man in the history of television. The most watched man of television of all time. Because of Knight Rider 1 and Baywatch. At one time, Baywatch had an audience of 1.1 billion people in 142 countries. So he is the most watched man to this day. And you'll never break it because nobody watches things like that anymore. You're watching things at different times. So he holds that record till he dies.
Does that also include the burger video?
Dory, I'm trying to talk about good shit about David Hasselhoff and you got to take it down into the gutter.
Sorry.
We haven't spoken about the Hoff in weeks. Forget his... We don't celebrate his birthday. He didn't even bring me a little Knight Rider cake. What do you have to say for yourself?
I'm still waiting for my Hoff weird thing from SpongeBob thing.
Is it a rocket?
Well, I can't remember.
Submarine.
What it was. Thing that goes in the water. Looks like him shooting through water. I don't know.
So many jokes in there.
Lots.
Everything on the show can be found at 80 Show SA on Facebook or in the show notes. Thanks for joining me, Dory.
Bye.